Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello, guests. Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, it's Monday, in fact, the last Monday of the year. And just before we start, a quick reminder that tomorrow, Tuesday, at 8 p.m. Sydney time, I'll be running my next live stream. And that will be a special show with Michael Invests, somebody who runs a YouTube channel all about investments. And I am going to look back over this year and also look forward to next year. So mark your diary and join us live tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. Sydney. You'll be able to ask a question live. And I have Edwin with me. Hey, Edwin, how are you going?
Oh, well, I'm doing okay, Martin. It's been a very, very interesting 2020. And let's see what we can bring to our audience in 2021. So it's going to be the last show for the year. And let's make it happen.
Yes, that's right. Yes, who'd have thunk how 2020 was going to play out, right? So what with pandemics and very low interest rates and hedonic indices and property spruiking coming out of everybody's ears, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, then there's a faithful witch chatterers and the Chinese whispers and that, let's not forget I think one of the highlights for me was getting Louis Christopher on our podcast and actually releasing the Kraken, calling CoreLogic's daily imputation, disqualification, for what it is, a rort.
Yeah, well, that was a very, very insightful conversation with Louis, and certainly, one of the pillars of property analytics in Australia. So that's pretty good. Hopefully he'll come back next year and we can take the conversation even further. So I guess tonight let's just kick over a couple of things that have gone on through the year, perhaps a bit of a recap, and then just think a little bit about what next year may be going to look like. And what about this issue of limiting access? Because obviously one of the things that happened with the virus is that it's been harder to view property.
Well, there was a time where, if you recall, at the beginning, the beginning of February, we were talking about it then. We were talking about how real estate agencies were going to have to change the way that they did open for inspections. But let's not forget, Martin, one of my bugbears is always, and we discussed it back then as well, was the pressure that a lot of selling agents were putting on tenants in particular, or that agencies were putting on tenants. Even in the good times, there's a lot of pressure put on tenants. We talked about that. We talked about the changes. We talked about the fact that tenants were rightfully renting a property, and it was it's their domain effectively for the period of time that they're renting the property. So we said that things were going to change. We said that the regulators and the powers to be were going to change access by how agents would acquire access. We said there was going to be a limitation on access. We talked about all the practical aspects of how to maintain distance, social distancing. Then it became became cold, and everything else there that was that we were you and I were criticized over in at that time, that we were laughed at to an extent. But look at it now; it's become the norm.
Yeah, I remember Cling Film featured significantly in your suggestions.
Hey, that's right. Well, that's one way to stop people from using the bathrooms, isn't it? We also talked about high-rise, the high-rise developments, and the fact that a lot of people were going to get back into working from home, and the quarantines and the lockdowns and so forth. We're going to put people effectively, there was going to be hundreds, if not thousands, of people in these high-rise developments, and that was going to, they were going to give the dunnies a real good caning, and that was going to create issues with the plumbing. And of late, Some of the Twitterers have been posting over the last week or so how they've had the sewage lines blocked in the unit blocks. The ones that I've been reading have been mainly from Victoria, but I'm sure that it's happening all over in all the capital cities because of the pressure and because of the fact that they're using smaller pipes. And I think we recall we also talked about what happened at around about that time or late 2019 with that high rise in Parramatta, and we said that it was just going to be 10 times worse because of the amount of people that were going to put pressure on those pipes. That although we're construction, the way the buildings are built at the moment, they may be compliant, but they're not necessarily coping with the changes in lifestyles. But now we're going to go into perhaps we're going to go in 2021, 2022 is going to be the opposite, where people are vacating the high-rise developments, and these high-rises are going to become ghettos. That's what I see in the future for a lot of these high-rises. They're just going to be ghettos because the strata companies aren't going to have the funds to manage them, because the investors aren't going to have the rental incomes to pay the strata levies and for the owners' corporations and the strata managers to pay for the upkeep of these buildings. They're just going to become million-dollar ghettos.
Yeah, well, that's right. In fact, there was an interesting report from Domain, which I featured in an earlier post a couple of days ago, that highlighted the deep discounting on rentals that's going on, particularly in Sydney and Melbourne, particularly close in the high-rise area. But going back to your pipes, I don't remember the film called Brazil. It was one from quite a few years ago. But there they have this wonderful picture of lots of pipes heaving and seething and bursting and, with too much stuff being pumped through it. And I think that's the picture that I've got from your Dunnies.
Well, yeah, like I said, we talked about giving the Dannies a caning at that time, and it look, they're certainly getting a workout, aren't they? Mainly because what I've seen is a lot of these sewer lines, again, they're compliant. They're compliant with the new PVC that's been put in these high-rise developments. They're compliant, but they become narrower to save costs overall. And they become narrower, and obviously a lot of crap's going to get caught because they're not even put in properly or connected properly. There's going to be burrs, and people are going to be throwing all sorts of things down down the drains, and stuff that doesn't dissolve and doesn't flow well with water. And when you've got all these pipes connecting and converging into the main lines in the basement areas, it was going to be mayhem. Then obviously on top of that is the shifting and the movement of your Eiffel Towers and your Mascot Towers. If you sort of picture that, and the shifting and the movement of the foundations of a lot of these buildings, obviously a lot of these structures are rigid and the plumbing's rigid. It's a little bit flexible, but not that flexible. So you got all these construction issues that were added on. So it's going to be a shift. So I'm calling 2021, 2022 high-rise developments are going to be the million-dollar ghettos, and they're going to come to fruition well and truly.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess the other thing we should just reflect on briefly once again is the impossibility of reading what's going on with prices when all the indices basically are just speaking whatever language they are speaking, but not reality.
Well, that's what Louis, he said it. We've got it on record. One of the main property analysts in Australia, if not probably currently, probably. Yes, but second to you, Martin. Second to you, or maybe on par with you, because you put out a lot more economic data as well. So I don't know. It's a close call. It's a close call. So
I'm not proud.
He said it. Yeah, he called it. He said it is so dodgy, and more so because he worked for the Australian Property Monitor Group and the predominantly now that the Domain Group and the whole bit there, and he knows what goes on there, the shenanigans that goes on in there, how they don't release the data, or the data that is released is somewhat dubious, somewhat convoluted, and somewhat distorted. You've got CoreLogic, which we'll also talk about some of those highlights later on in the podcast with some of their daily hedonic imputations and the fact that they haven't got a lot of those properties that I've been asking Tim to and the CoreLogic people to get it up to date, up to speed with the current sales, and they still haven't done anything about it. So, we will never know how far a lot of properties or a lot of areas in Sydney fell, Martin. We will never know because the real information is being suppressed. It's like the Dominion voting machines. We've got the domain suppression here as well. It's just uncanny all those parallels that have come out throughout 2020.
Well, it is weird. And, as I continue to say, people should be just a bit cautious with, the high-level spooking that's going on. It's not really backed by, real data, and people need to go granular, as we've discussed. And I guess, Edwin, the other thing we've touched on a bit, and we should probably continue next year to talk about, is this under-quoting thing. And this is actually getting quite big, isn't it?
Look, it is phenomenal. It's absolutely, and now the mainstream, the Sydney Morning Herald, I'm telling you, Martin, the mainstream are watching our videos because usually 2 or 3 weeks after we put something out there that impacts the greater community, they come out with, the thing about this article with regards to the fair trading finding 238 real estate agents in 5 years for underquoting. That figure should be five times as big, as far as I'm concerned, and the fines should be 10 times bigger than what they are. And quite frankly, they should name and shame. They ain't name and shame the agencies or the agents, unless there's a conviction and it's posted and you got to really chase it. But Caitlin really brings it home. But I think where she failed was in getting a quote from the CEO of the REI New South Wales. I mean, that's the birthplace of underquoting, Martin. I've said it for many years, and I'll continue to say it. That's the birthplace of underquoting, and those bastards won't stop. So if you really want to deal with it, you got to shut that organisation down, because that's where most of them, the owners of the big franchise groups sit on the board, and they condone the shit that goes on. They condone the underquoting, and I'll be calling that out more and more in 2021. It's watch this space, Martin, because I'm really going to go out, cameras and all, and catch it out, and really, I won't be holding back in 2021 with regards to underquoting.
No, well, that's right, and it's interesting that the mainstream finally picked this up. And of course, the fact that fair trading, which is meant to be looking after interests, finally went after 238. But we've said it's the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more to be done there. So we'll be watching that, eh?
Yeah, look, it is, and unfortunately, look, again, it's when there's a lot of our Twitter friends comment on underquoting on Twitter, we I usually make sure that they also understand the fact that to an extent, Fair Trade in New South Wales have their hands tied behind their back because they're underfunded. They are really I've been saying this for about 10 years now that that they're underfunded. I recall when they used to have inspectors, as we say, walking the beach and attending auctions more readily, and actually attending auctions on a Saturday. As far as I'm concerned, they were the good old days where you had greater policing. So when you take the powers away, the policing powers away from the regulators, well, you're going to come in to strike, and people are going to take these risks, because also the fines don't reflect the damage that caused, Martin. The fines are really slaps on the wrist for a lot of them. The only thing that we can do is call them out more and more. Call the agents and agencies that underquote over and over again. And the serial underquoters, call them out regularly. And it's public domain. They advertise on the portal, so nothing's hidden. So we will be exposing a lot of this, and we will get more. And hopefully, the the mainstream pick this up a lot more and do a lot more with regards to reporting more of these shenanigans that go on.
Absolutely. And just, you know, the REA to say, well, of course, that's the market. In other words, the market's been overperforming, right? It's just a complete furphy, right? We know that it's much more structural. And so we'll be watching this very seriously over the next few months, because a lot of people potentially being tricked.
Look, definitely. As I put it to one or two things, you know, either the agent doesn't know the true value of the property. Look, there is a margin, in anything. You've got margins of error, and you've also got margins of I call it emotion or hype. There was an article on Property Observer about eight, 9 years ago. When I used to write on Property Observer, and it was about there was a 10% margin of emotion that people got caught up, and because of the amount of auctions that we've attended, the amount of open for inspections, being involved in the industry for so long, and talking to the industry bodies, groups, and agents, we knew that was just about right. That article hit the nail on the head. Now, but when you start talking 20, 25, 27%, even 30% in some cases of prices above guides, it only comes back to one or two things. One, the agent doesn't know the value of the property in the area. And two, they're underquoting. It's one of the two. No, there's no in between. There's no grays. It's the agent should not be. Given any further sales by the locals in that area, because they should see it for what it is, the fact that they're ignorant to the true values of the properties, or they're deliberately underquoting in order to get more eyes on the listing and more bodies at the auction. But we're going to teach our followers, Martin, how to deal with these serial underquoters, and how to put them in their place, and how to potentially achieve a cheaper sale or get the property passed in at a very low price, like what I've been doing in the so-called hype of 2020 over the last few months.
Absolutely. Well, I look forward to that, Edwin. And something else to talk about just briefly, I think, is the fact that, you and I think, are of the view that the types of property that people are going to buy are going to be changing, and the way that they're going to buy is also going to be changing. So the industry is up for a significant shakeout.
Definitely. In many ways, it's for a big shakeup. I'm still staying true to my call on the fact that the main portals will take over the industry itself. There'll be more independence, independent agencies moving forward. People are going to be the type of properties people are going to be buying are going to be, it's going to be very interesting in 2021, given the fact that now the WHO have said that, which is what you and I have been saying for how long now, that, we've got COVID-19 and only God knows what's going to happen in 2021, COVID-20, COVID-21, COVID-23, 25, 27, and the list goes on. I mean, there's a lot of chatter on Twitter with regards to new reports coming out of Wuhan now with more, potentially more viruses that are now, whether it's a threat, whether it's somebody's trying to leak some information out to the rest of the world to get us ready. But the dynamics of what people buy, how they buy, and when they buy, and what they're buying is changing dramatically. The movement, the global movement for highly skilled individuals in the Commonwealth countries, including America, with how we monitor the WeChat chatterers all around the world and what they're saying, medical professionals, from nurses all the way to doctors and specialists, wanting to migrate to Australia. That's going to make an impact and they're not going to be buying apartments. They're not going to be buying penthouses. They're going to be buying freestanding homes. And they don't care whether they're an hour and 15 minutes, or an hour and a half away from the CBD, Martin. They want space, because the whole dynamic, the whole mindset and mental shift is changing, has changed, and will continue to change and evolve. So it's watch this space for 2021.
Absolutely. And I'd add some other factor, which is very important, of course. Property investors are still very much in chill mode. Many are still looking to sell next year. And it's interesting, the latest credit aggregates came out today. Well, it came out just before Christmas, but I looked at them today from the RBA. And credit growth over the last year for unoccupied lending up 5.4%. Credit growth for investment lending down minus 0.1%. And that really tells the whole story, right? So property investing as a sport is definitely going to be a sideline sport. And that's going to change the property market quite significantly too.
Look, definitely. And although we've retreated with our numbers below 13,000 overall, but it's typical end of year, retraction in listing numbers. Freestanding homes have really retracted as well. But then again, I'm starting to wonder how that will those numbers will increase, and what areas, more so, what areas will they increase in? I'm gonna go with areas where you've got the blue collar workers, predominantly the bought, and the ones that bought in the last 3 years, where they're going to come under great economic strike, regardless of what the government says, to go out and buy, to go out and spend, to go out and hock yourself for and borrow more. Even this commercial, when the government was saying go out there and borrow more money, it's cheap now, and get your businesses to get your businesses back online and to kick off again once the lockdowns are lifted, and and look forward to the end of year. Well, what happened to this end of year? What happened to all that the government calls on calling the people to go out and encumber themselves with $50,000, $60,000, $100,000, $150,000 commercial loans to give the businesses a second go? Good on them for trying, but unfortunately, that they were listening to the wrong calls, because look at where we are now in this in this ongoing uncertainty. Come next, in the first quarter, there's going to be a hell of a lot more uncertainty.
I think that's right. And I'm still seeing in my surveys more people thinking to sell rather than to buy in many areas. But, a quick call out for the DFA one-to-one service, right? Because you have to go granular. You have to get into the detail down to the postcode level to understand what's going on. You have to understand the difference between units and houses, and you have to understand the different stress dynamics down at the granular level. That's the only way to decode what's going on. So if anybody wants to have a conversation with me on the DFA one-to-one service, it's still running, and I've got a few queued up for the next few weeks. So the invite's always there, Edwin. Now let's just move on to one other really important conversation, and that was a tweet that Tim Wilson, the Tim Wilson, put out today, basically saying, well, there's 4 days to go before the superannuation withdrawal scheme comes to an end, and you should pull out that $10,000 from superannuation and put it up for a deposit to buy a house. How nutty is that?
Mate, let's just keep the fire burning. Keep throwing the sheep into the fire. These politicians, really, they're calling for all sorts of things. Again, they forget one thing, Martin. The fact that the career politicians, they get a wage, they get a salary month in, month out, week in, week out, month in, month out. They've got the super, when they do the 7 years, I think it is 7 year service, and they've got the lifelong super and so forth. So of course I can call all this bullshit that they're going about. Again, that was another thing that came out of 2020, Martin, where you and I are allowed to say bullshit because you say bullshit on our podcast. So I'm taking advantage to the end, Martin, to the end.
Fair enough.
So, all this BS that they call out because, again, their incomes are secure. Their incomes, didn't they also go up this year? Whilst everybody's suffering, whilst the people that run small businesses, believe their tripe, 3 months ago and went and borrowed, and the other got to let go of the in all these small medium enterprises, they've got to let go of all their workers that are now not going to have a job. Yeah, calling on people to pull the super out, to go and buy homes, go and buy a property, go and cover themselves with commercial mortgages or loans so they can give it another go. I mean, crazy stuff, Martin. That's all I can put it to, is just these people just they don't live in the real world.
Well, they certainly don't. And look, let's just go through it, right? So you could have pulled up 10,000 from your super in the first half of the year, another 10,000 second half of the year, so that 20,000 for a deposit, and then you can get up to $50,000 if you add up the other, you know, off the plan stuff and everything else. So basically, look at all the different stimulus measures that are there, right? No wonder people are actually being lured into it. But it is really quite shameful. And, you know, the trouble is a lot of people are going to get caught. People are going to get overcommitted in terms of mortgage repayments. And they're going to be buying into prices that are already inflated by those stimulus measures. We can see it very clearly in WA, where the off-the-plan home land packages went up by precisely the amount of the stimulus. It's just one of those things. You are a net sum no gainer by going through this route, and yet, of course, people still believe that the government is there to help you get into the property market. No. This is all about supporting the construction sector. It's all about supporting their mates at the big end of town. And unfortunately, I think people are going to get caught in the crossfire.
Very much so. And then you've got, obviously, then when you start comparing the value of homes in these regions out at Windsor and beyond, and this is in the Sydney region, of course, because this is what I'm familiar with. When you start comparing these subdivisions and the blocks of land of 300 square meters in your Jordan Springs, and you compare it to more established dwellings that people could buy a lot closer to hubs, to commercial hubs, such as your Quakers Hills and the like, and this is in the Western Suburbs again. But when you start comparing 650, 700 square meter blocks of land, okay, they've got homes that are on there, they've been there for 20, 25 years, but you've got land. You've got land in these other subdivisions out at Windsor, out at Whoop Whoop. You're sitting on 300. The house, you run out your back door, and you likely smack your head in your adjoining fence and break your nose. I mean, that's how close they are to each other, and it's paying horrendous amounts of money. And again, I know a developer that had 29, 30 blocks of land that was that were selling. They took them off the market when all these stimulus packages were coming through, and all these as we call it, free money was being thrown at so-called free money was being thrown at the punters to go out and get their the new homes, and they took the blocks off the market. And then waited until that was etched in stone, and then they put them back on the market, albeit at 2/3 of what the punters were being gifted, 2/3 more of what the punters were being gifted. So that's what I've said for many years, since the first home buyers grant that I recall in the early 2000s, was that all that does is puts more money in the vendor's pocket. It doesn't make it easier for you to get into the market. And now, using your own super to basically feed their mates, and also to an extent also contribute by the different duties to the government as you're buying as you're transacting on property.
Yeah. Well, I often say all those stimulus measures just lift all the boats in the harbour. It just makes the prices more expensive. So it doesn't address housing affordability. It doesn't actually benefit the broader economy. All it does is, as you say, continue to support the industry. Another observation I'd make, Edwin, is, and there was a tweet I saw yesterday, that we are also seeing some very large, well-established properties being purchased, knocked down, and units are being put on up on them as well. There was one that was quite famous that was actually in that boat, and obviously quite often being funded by Chinese property investors. So this is something which I think we're going to have to keep an eye on over the next couple of years, because more and more we find that established homes, purchases of established homes, are being forced to compete directly with developers who want to knock those homes down and put multiple occupancy blocks up instead.
Yeah, look, it's that's the evolution of living close to commercial hubs. That's just the nature of it. I mean, it's been going on. It's the interesting thing is the money that's been used. A lot of that money is already is money that's here. It's not money that's just recently leaving China. Let's get that clear. And from all our WeChat chatter reports, not a lot's going to happen in the near future. Obviously, I premise this with if and when there's a new administration, an administration in the US that's going to be more favorable to what China do and how they operate, I'll pay a lot more closer attention as to the Australia becoming the once again the dumping ground for illegal funds. But even then, it's going to be not as big as what it used to be, because a lot of the people that used to come in the they used to charter full planes. And we'd get busloads of investors touring high-rise development construction sites. They're no longer there because they're in a world of kaka in China themselves. What we will see is that 0.1% of the very wealthy that are going to be wanting to buy where wealthy people want to live, where they want to show face, where they want to show off, and they certainly don't want to show off, as we said in the last podcast, they don't want to show off in Perth, and they won't be showing off in buying a penthouse in Blacktown, or out west. They'll be buying established homes. You and I know how they do it. They've been doing it for decades, and they'll continue to do it. And that's basically setting up companies and putting trust on them. They circumvent the Foreign Investment Review Board regulations as to foreigners buying property. But that's only because why? Because, again, the government's allowed them to do it, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got a mini Edwin now. Your bandwidth is low again, but Zoom has actually shrunk the picture to keep you alive. So you're just a bit smaller than you were previously, but fine, it's still coming through okay. Okay, let's just move on then finally. Oh, you come back now. There you go. To the property in focus. We should explain there's a big storm going on here, and I think where you are too. So that could have something to do with it too. Property in focus. You say it has to be this property. Why?
Well, look, this is interesting because, look, it's one of the ones that really caught my attention for many things. One, obviously, the hedonic daily index says that it's actually worth $2.4 million, according to CoreLogic. And a lot of agents use this CoreLogic values or predictive values to give market opinions when they do CMAs, comparative market analysis for potential clients to take their properties to for sale or to auction. So this is interesting because this property was actually sold on the 18th of the 7th, and I was there present, and it got sold for $1.4 million. And Tim and CoreLogic have not updated their back end. And it's interesting because they're saying that it's worth $2.4 million. but it's one of many, Martin. It's one of many, as you and I know. This is going back. So it's one of those things caught my attention, but also because it got sold on the 18th, the buyer the hammer was dropped, and then it got put back on the market a month and a half later.
Mm-hmm. Right. And just to be clear, the indicative value, which is what you're talking about, the indicative value is what CoreLogic basically is putting up, right? So the 2.4, whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it goes back to this issue that you've raised consistently, which is that when the property is sold, surely that indicative value should be changed.
Definitely. That should be changed, but they won't. They won't change it. And they haven't changed it to about, in that area, in the Chatswood West area, they haven't changed it to, off the top of my head, about 15, 17 properties. Because the difference of the indicative values to the actual sales on the day or sales over the last 2-3 months have been a lot, you know, anywhere between 10 and 17%. And in this case, obviously, a hell of a lot more, something like 37% lower than what they're showing. So because once they start putting those true figures on the back end, I'd imagine that then it would change the daily index figures that they put out day by day to hoodwink the rest of the public that how the market is really moving or tracking. And this is just two suburbs, Chatswood and Chatswood West. I mean, we monitor a lot of other areas as well, and we see the same thing going on. We see changes on the back end real quickly when they are on or above their indicative predictions or predictive values. That's when they change fairly quickly. And this one, and I will hound Tim and CoreLogic to update this, because I think it's my public duty to make sure that we keep the hedonic alive and well for 2021, Martin.
Absolutely. Interestingly, Edwin, the hedonic index moved on Christmas Day. Did you notice that?
No, look, I lost my phone for a day or two. I didn't, you know, turn the laptop on. I just wanted to unwind. I was actually, you know, toiling my veggies in the backyard. I was having troubles getting fruit pickers and from overseas and, you know, to come and help me pick. My water bill was $108 for the quarter. I've never used so much water, and I got three tomatoes and three beans. I was shattered, so I just had to get away from Twitter.
Very good. And last question then, Edwin. Thoughts for New Year resolution? Something to do differently next year?
Look, personally, New Year's resolution, I think it's just going to continue to stay healthy. Continue to stay healthy and be more laser focused on calling out the shenanigans that go on in the that still go on in the industry. But we're also going to be more active with, as we said before, teaching our audience, helping them, assisting them with more tips as to how they can, navigate through all the shenanigans that sellers, agents use. And it's only going to get tougher, because I have a feeling that, there's going to be a bit of competition, as I said, from people that are wanting to do that shift. That shift from apartments to freestanding homes and further afield. So, but you know, and this is where you see a lot of the agents wanting to play with people, play with their emotions, play with their wallets and so forth. So we're going to be. So that's what I'm going to be focusing on, as to stay tuned, stay. Keep following us on Twitter as we try to bring you more news as to what's happening overseas and what the the shifts are, what people are thinking, not what the mainstream media here are telling us that that's going to occur, but you know, what people are really thinking. And that's by monitoring more investment groups and chatterers all over the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just share with you one of my resolutions. I'm going to renew my efforts to try and get a property bull to come on and debate with us about what's actually going on, right? I have failed miserably over the last couple of years because every time I reach out for a property bull, they run a mile. So I'm going to have another go next year.
Well, let's. I'd really like you to get the doc. I think that'll be a great conversation.
Yep. Well, we'll extend an invite now to any of the property bulls out there who actually thinks that there's a different perspective that should be represented. And if so, you are very welcome to reach for me and come and join us for our rant, and you can explain to us why we are myopic in our views. And we might explain to those people why we think they're myopic about their views, Edwin. So it should be fun.
Look, it will be fun. It will be an interesting 2021. It will be a very, very interesting 2021. And it's just a watch this space. And look, as again, just be empowered, stay safe, people, stay healthy, and all the best to our followers and viewers in 2021. But yeah, most of all, stay safe and stay healthy.
Yeah, good advice, Edwin. And I certainly wish everybody watching the channel the very best for 2021, whatever it may turn out to be. But also be prepared and get information from multiple sources when you make decisions, because it always is going to be better if you do. Thanks, Edwin. We'll catch up in the new year, and we'll see you next week.
All the best, and it's been a great time over the with these chats, Martin, and looking forward to 2021 to continue.
We've done 18 so far this year. 18 so far this year, so we've only got 52 more to do next year. Do the whole year.
Well, and let's see what 2021 unleashes. Let's stay prepared.
Take care. Happy New Year.
All the best, man.
Cheers. Bye bye.